Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Hope you had a good weekend. If we haven't met yet, my name's Jamie. I'm the pastor of East Cobb Church, and so good to be at church with you guys today. We are starting a new series today, and I got a question to get you thinking in the right direction. Does anybody have a story or stories in your family that have been handed down? You know what I mean by that? Like handed down, like your dad's told the story 4 million times. Every time y'all are together or somebody gives an opening, you're like, here he goes, it's gonna happen again, it's the story. Anybody have one of those? Maybe it's your grandmother. She talks about like her grandmother and like your ancestors and what life was like back then. And you're like, I could tell it myself now. I could tell you the story she tells every time that we're together at Christmas time. I wonder if you have any of those. I have a few I was thinking about my family. One of the subjects I heard a lot about from my dad was I always heard about his pets growing up. And if you're thinking cats and dogs, you would be sorely mistaken. It's nothing that normal that my dad kept his pets. Here were my dad's pets. I heard about these when I was a kid growing up. He had Icky Wicky the rat, and this was just a feral rat that he fed in like his room or something like that. That just like would leave food out and like, there's Icky Wicky. Yeah, that's where I come from. Number two, Daniel Coon. A raccoon. Yeah, he had a pet raccoon. And I mean like a pet, like domesticated raccoon. And then Leroy the bobcat. Yeah, okay. So I heard about all those pets growing up. And I'm like, man, I mean, we just have like golden doodles. Like it's, times have changed, you know? Times have changed. Icky Wicky the rat. All right. Well, those are some of like the basic stories I heard. The number one legendary story in my family that was like has been passed down. This would come from my grandpa, was the story of Noonan. Okay. Noonan was an Eskimo guide that took my grandpa on a hunting trip in Canada at one point where my grandpa shot and killed the second largest caribou on record in all of Canada at the time. Okay, so this is the story he tells, though, was just like, is wild. I mean, you can imagine a hunter's story, right? So this story is like, he takes the shot, hits the caribou, but the caribou's like, not today, spits the bullet out, and just like runs away, chases him down through the tundra. They're tracking him through like the wasteland. The part of the story actually gets in a river. I'm like, didn't you freeze to death? Did this really happen? I don't know. But like, they're in a river, and then he like takes the final shot on a rock in the river, and second largest caribou in Canadian history on record at the time. And took the head, mounted it as you do, right? And named it Noonan. And Noonan still sits on my parents' wall at their house. That's Noonan. And I've been hearing about Noonan since I was born. I mean, like, boy, it's a legendary story. He plays the character of Rudolph, obviously, in December. Quite a story. Maybe you have some as well, like legendary stories that have been handed down. And you probably see where I'm going with this because this is what we're talking about for the next 3 weeks. We're in the series called Stories, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. We're going to be focusing on just that. We're going to be focusing on some of the greatest stories that have been handed down from antiquity about some of the most influential people ever to walk the earth. Stories that were deemed so significant and so important that they've been preserved, they've been recorded, and they've been recorded in what we call the Bible in the Old Testament. These are stories that some of us heard over and over and over and over again. If you were like me growing up at church, maybe you've heard them over and over. You heard the names over and over again. Others of you are like, no, I never heard the story. I'm like, I know the name, but I don't know the story. I don't know the content. And that doesn't matter for this series. The point that matters is, I think we could all agree that when you're talking of stories of this magnitude that have been preserved for this long, these stories are important to history. These are stories that are vital to our faith. And as we're gonna see, these are stories that are helpful for our lives right here, right now, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe about God. So we're gonna be spending 3 weeks talking about three different stories. And this is also important, the subtitle is Looking Back in Order to Go Forward. Looking back in order to go forward, because while these stories were written about others, they were recorded for us. They were written about others, but they were recorded for us. And I believe recorded by God for us, for our lives, right here, right now and today. And they can make a big difference. So we're gonna talk about three stories. And the first one that we're gonna talk about, the first character that we're gonna talk about is a man named Abraham. Abraham. Let's just a little show of hands. And if you don't, it's fine. If the answer is no, is anybody, who's heard of Abraham in the room? Who's like heard of, if you haven't, it's okay. I just wanna, yeah, look around. Look around the hands. That was amazing. Abraham is one of the most significant characters and figures, historical figures, like in all of human history. I was thinking about this week, just how significant Abraham was. Think about how significant he was. Abraham is pointed to by three of the world's largest religions. Numbers 1 and 2, Christianity and Islam, and then Judaism. It's a little further down on the list. All point to Abraham for their origins, which means that, I mean, we're talking about a nomadic shepherd from antiquity, okay? Which means that the majority of humans, if for a majority of recorded human history, not only knew about Abraham, but they revered him and pointed to him as one of the founding fathers of their entire worldview. You're like, what? I mean, that's massively significant. The scope of that, it's almost hard to put your mind around how significant this guy is in human history. In Christianity, our faith, he's very foundational. He's one of the figures most often referenced, obviously next to Jesus, by the Apostle Paul in his exposition of the Christian faith. He talks about Abraham all the time. In the famous faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, where they list like all the heroes of faith, he's the most mentioned one by far. He's the most mentioned. And today in the world, right here today, and all across the world, it wouldn't matter what culture you went to, people know his name. Still to this day, millennia later, people still name their kids after him. Some of people who grew up like me in a church like I did, you know songs about him. Does anybody know the Abraham song? Anybody know an Abraham song? Man, has many sons, toot, toot, many sons have Father Abraham. One of them, and so are you. We had hymns, let's all praise the Lord. One more time. No, we're not gonna do that. That's hilarious. Some of us have some things in common. There we go, the song of Abraham. Yeah, so, hey, but here's the point about Abraham and why I think you should find him fascinating. Again, whether you're a Christian or not, it's just fascinating to me. By any standard, by any measure, he lived an incredibly consequential life. He lived an extraordinary, consequential life, a life that was so extraordinary and so consequential that not only have people talked about him for millennia after his death, but God himself not only talked to Abraham directly, but he also talked about Abraham to all of humanity through the scriptures and held him out as an example for life and faith. That is a really big deal. And the question that I wanna simply ask, I just got one question I wanna ask this morning, and that question is why? I mean, why? How in the world? Why? What made his life so extraordinary? What made his life so consequential? How in the world did an ancient nomad come to stand at the center of culture and history? How did that happen? And I think the answer is really simple. His life was consequential because of two very powerful ingredients. Two things made his life weighty, made his life epic, made his life reverberate and echo through the centuries. And I wanna talk about those two things today because, like I said, this story, it's not just meant to be a history lesson, it's meant to be an example. It's meant to be a prototype. It's meant to be an invitation to you and to me to live like Abraham did. Because here's the deal. If you will discover and lean into these two things, your life will be significant. My life will be consequential if I will. Your life will be one that was lived well. I don't know if generations from now people will still be talking about you, but I do know that God will. He will speak of you. He will celebrate your life like you celebrated Abraham's. And by the way, so will the people around you. The people that are around you in life right now, they will tell your story long after you are gone if you live out these two ingredients and put them in your life. And by the way, this is true of you even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not a church person. I understand we have different people in the room and you have, you know, different ideas about God and the Bible and everything. Because here's the deal. Here's why this story I think can be really helpful for you. You are inspired and motivated by stories all the time that you don't think are divine. I mean, yes, it's in the Bible. Obviously, I believe this is a story that God preserved for us. But if you don't believe that, it's fine. You're motivated by stories that you don't believe are divine all the time. And though living a godly life may not be of interest to you, I know you wanna live a good one. I know you wanna live a consequential one. I know you wanna like maximize your potential and like wring out all of the goodness that you possibly can from your life. And I believe the story of Abraham tells you how, because it includes the two essential ingredients of a consequential life. That story, the story of Abraham, it's found in, like I said, it's in the Bible, it's in the Old Testament, it's in the book of Genesis, which was written by Moses. I don't know if you knew that. We're gonna talk about him next week. But Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And while the basic facts of Abraham's story may be familiar to a lot of us, the setup may not be. So I just want to catch us up on the story so far. So, you know, Genesis goes all the way back to the beginning. God created man and woman and put them in Eden, which means paradise. So they were in paradise. That paradise was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. And when they sinned, death and sin and hate and evil and all and sickness and all the bad stuff in the world came into the world through sin. Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, but on the way out of the garden, God gives Adam and Eve a very great and important promise. He promises that one day he's gonna raise up a descendant of Eve to reverse the effects of the fall of sin and bring humanity back into paradise with God. So humanity is holding on to this really big promise from God. But by the time you get to the story we're reading today, that promise isn't looking too bright. It's not looking like it's really gonna happen because there's two sons of Adam and Eve that are whose descendants are in the world at this time. It's Seth and Cain. You know Cain because he killed Abel. And Cain's descendants, they just forgot about God and they went and worshiped idols and was like, well, clearly the promise isn't coming there. Seth's family and his descendants, they did. They remembered God, Yahweh, and worshiped him for a minute, for a time. But by the time you get to Seth's descendant, Abram, his name was originally Abram, not Abraham. That means great father, which is ironic. I'll tell you why in a second. Things aren't looking too great. Most of Seth's descendants are also forgetting about God. Abraham's immediate family seems to be one of the only ones that still remembers Yahweh, even though they're worshiping idols too. And that might be like sort of good news, like, oh, maybe God will do something through Abraham. But oh, wait, no, because Abraham's whole entire family line is about to die out. His older brother has died. His other brother has no wife. And Abram has a wife who's barren and they have no children. And so his name, Great Father, is kind of a bit ironic. And so it looks like this promise of God is about to literally hit a dead end, which is, of course, where God seems to do his best work. And that's the story of Abraham. So here's how Moses begins the story of Abraham. Genesis 12:1, he says, the Lord said to Abram, let me pull it up here. Where am I? There we go. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country. Everybody say go. Go, Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household, and I want you to go to the land. Which land? I'll show you. Which is, of course, a crazy proposition. Take this out of the Bible for a second, and you're like, that's a wild invitation, you know? God goes up to a guy and he's like, hey, I want you to leave your house, your culture, your land, your security, and your family, and like, let's go. Where? You'll find out. I mean, that's just, it's wild. In antiquity, there were no policemen. You know, there wasn't much government structure. Might made right. And so your clan, your extended family, it was everything when it came to both prosperity and protection. And so this idea of like leaving, when he says, he names them, your land, your father, and your household, and going to a question mark, that was insane. That was wild to be like me telling you, hey, you wanna move your family forever to a foreign country? Forever, forever, forever. And you're like, which country? You'll find out when you get off the plane. You are never saying yes to that, ever in a million years. There's no way you would say yes to that, too risky. And this is what God's in, shows up in history. I mean, in the middle of history and just say, hey, Abraham, you wanna come? You wanna come with me? Come with me? And you're like, why would he even entertain this idea? Well, here's why he would entertain it, because God had another thing to offer. There was some incentive along with the invitation. There was a promise. And this is what God said. He goes, hey, I want you to go, Abram. And if you do, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What do you say? So this is the beginning of Abraham's story, as we know it. This moment, this is a famous moment in, you know, antiquity, especially in biblical antiquity. This moment is commonly referred to as the call of Abraham. In fact, if in your Bible, you may have a heading on it that says, the call of Abraham. The moment when God stepped into history for the first time, really since the garden, in a way that he hadn't really since the Garden of Eden. And he called a nomadic shepherd named Abram to go on an adventure with him. This is a call of Abraham. And this is an adventure, this is a calling that God would fill in along the way. Like as they were going, he was gonna give more information because this invitation raised a lot of questions, right? Like you're gonna make a great nation. And Abram's like, out of what? Like, we're both old as can be, and she's barren, and we have no kids. And God's like, oh yeah. So later he tells Abram, he's like, I'm gonna cause you and Sarah, his wife, to supernaturally conceive a child, and you're gonna have a son of your own. And he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Avraham is how you really pronounce it. And his name means now the father of multitudes, the father of nations. And so he was like, oh man, I didn't even realize that. It also raises the question of land. Like, where all, if I have a big family, where are we gonna live? And where's this nation supposedly gonna reside? And God later tells him, oh yeah, you know what else? I haven't told you this yet. I'm gonna give you the land of Canaan. I'm gonna give the land of Canaan to you and your descendants for an everlasting promise. It's yours, a gift from me. So God filled in details and filled in steps and all kinds of stuff as they were going, but it all started right here in this like one huge pivotal moment when God invited Abraham to go. When he called him to go, come on. And the rest is history. The rest is history because Abraham did have a son, miraculously had a son. Does anybody know Abraham's son's name? Yeah, his name's Isaac. And then Isaac had two sons. The younger was the most famous. Does anybody know the name of his younger son? Jacob. And then God ended up changing Jacob's name just like he changed Abraham's name. Does anybody happen to know what he changed Jacob's name to? Israel, the namesake of a nation who shaped and continues this day to shape human history. Like, it happened from one man. God made a nation. He did what he said. And not only that, that's like the smallest part of it. You wanna know the biggest part of it? On top of all that, one day, about 1800 years later, almost two millennia later, one of Abraham's descendants would be born in the town of Bethlehem in a manger. And we know him as Jesus, the Messiah. Isn't that cool? Jesus was who God was talking about when he said, hey, Abram, if you take me up on this offer, I'm gonna bless the whole world through you. Jesus was the savior that God had promised Adam and Eve all those years before. Isn't that amazing? That's the story of Abraham in a nutshell. Like, I could sum it up, that's it. The story of Abraham, the shepherd, the nomad. And that's the first ingredient, by the way, of Abraham's consequential life, his extraordinary life. And it's one that you're gonna need to find in your life if you wanna live that kind of life as well. It's one you're gonna need to help your kids find in their lives as well. The first ingredient of a consequential life is calling. Everybody say calling. The first ingredient of a consequential life is you gotta have a calling. Because Abraham, he was set on a course to die in obscurity, 100%. He was gonna spend the rest of his life wandering aimlessly and, by the way, childlessly around the Chaldeans. You were never gonna hear about him. You were definitely never gonna read about him. You sure weren't gonna sing a song about him in 2024 until God called him. And then whole life changed. God called him and set his life on a course that would end up impacting all of humanity. The number one ingredient, the first ingredient of a consequential life is you gotta have a calling. That's what makes all the difference. And that's my question for you today. I just want to ask you, do you have a calling? What about you? We're hearing about Abraham, but what about you? What about me? Do you have a calling? Do you have a sense of purpose in your life? Do you have your own answer to the question, why am I here? Why did God create me? What am I supposed to be doing and accomplishing with this life that I get to lead? Do you have that? And the only reason I ask is because I have found I get to meet with people all the time and I have found that a lot of us don't. And it's not just from my experience. I mean, even when you look at research, like that's what you see. Like I just literally saw a study the other day that said, 81% of people believe that there is an ultimate purpose for their lives. So like 19% are like, nah, there's really not a purpose, and that breaks my heart. But 81% are like, yeah, there's a purpose. I'm here for a reason. But then simultaneously, 65% said that they're still trying to figure out what it is. Exactly. In other words, most people are looking for purpose, but not finding it. And that breaks my heart, because we all know, I mean, you don't have to read a study to know this. We all know that there's a pretty high correlation between our sense of purpose and our happiness, between our sense of purpose and the quality of our life, between our sense of purpose and our self-esteem and our self-worth. There's a pretty high correlation between our sense of purpose and the productivity and the impact of our lives. Like, we understand this, and yet it seems that a vast majority of us have lost this strong sense of calling, the strong sense of purpose in our lives. And here's why, or at least why I believe the story of Abraham tells us. Because it comes from God. It comes from God. Your sense of calling and your sense of purpose, it's not something you just like, oh, there it is, like you find along the wayside. It's not something you just randomly stumble upon. No, it's something that you get from God. That's where it comes from. It's something that you get from God. And my friends, one of the most basic truths of your life, and one of the most basic truths of my life, is that a creation gets its calling from its creator. One of the most basic truths of your life, like if you wanna understand your life, and I wanna understand one of the most basic truths that we have to understand is that a creation gets its calling from its creator. Like in the same way that anything you order on Amazon of any complexity comes to you, not just with a name, but with an instruction manual from its manufacturer, so you too. You get your purpose from your creator. You get your purpose from your creator. In the same way that God had a calling on Abraham's life, he's got a calling on yours. In the same way that God had a purpose for Abraham, he's got a purpose for you. In the same way that God had something consequential for Abraham, he's got something consequential for you. Why? Because he made you. He cares about you. He sees something in you. Gosh, I hope you know that. I hope you believe that today. God sees something in you. God sees something in you. God sees something in you. And I'm telling you, I know I say this a lot, pretty much every time I preach, but like, good grief. If you could see what God sees when he looks at you. Oh man. I mean, and I'm talking like right where you are right now. Right where you are right now with your circumstances, with your past. Yes, with all of your mistakes. If you could see what God sees when he looks at you right now, like who he sees you becoming and where he sees you going, what he sees you doing and the life he sees you building, perhaps the comeback he sees you making, the redemption he sees you experiencing, the impact he sees you leaving on the world, your world around you. If you could see for 1 second what God sees when he looks at you, it would blow your mind. God has a purpose for you, just like he did for Abraham. And the more you live your life in that purpose, the more you line up your life to that purpose, the more satisfying and the more consequential your life is gonna be. So I just wanna ask, what about you? Do you have this ingredient in your life? Are you aware of and living out God's call on your life? Do you have a calling? And I know that some of us in the room would probably say, yeah, I do. And that's awesome. Man, I'm so happy to hear that. Others of us might say no. Like, nah, never really thought about it, never wanted to, never been interested in that. God's not been a big thing on my radar screen. That's totally fine. I do think, though, a lot of us, maybe even most of us, would probably say somewhere in the range, our response would be somewhere in between that. Like, yeah, I don't know. Not sure. Like, I'm not even really sure what God's calling is on my life. You know, Abraham's was super clear. Move. Okay. Yeah, that's clear. But I think maybe many of us would be sitting there wondering, like, but what's God calling me to do? Yeah, he called him to go to some land, but I'm not moving. So what's God calling me to do, you know? And if that's you, don't worry. That's nothing to be worried about. It's very common. It's very common that people don't really have a clear understanding of what God's calling them to do. And so for just a second, if I could, I want to try to fill in the picture a little bit of what God's calling is on your life. Unfortunately, I can't give you all the details of like what God wants you to do here or there. The details are usually something you got to figure out between you and God. But what I can do is point you in the right direction when it comes to God's call in your life. Because, I don't know if you knew this, there are two things that God has already called all of us to do. And if your life is like a picture, that's what I can tell you. I can tell you like the frame around the picture that God's calling you to paint in. Because there's two things that God has already called every single one of us to do. And the first one, that God has called you to multiply. That's what he's already called you to do. It was the mandate right in the Garden of Eden, the very first command God ever gave to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. This idea that this command, this mandate to take our lives and our abilities and our resources and go fill the earth with good things. That's what he told them. That's what he called them to do. And it's still God's call on your life right here, right now, today. I don't know if you remember the miracle of Jesus and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, you know, where he took like a little snack and fed 5,000 people. That's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take whatever you have, just whatever you have, whatever you were born with, whatever you've acquired, whatever you've been given. He wants to take whatever you have, be it your intellect or your athleticism or your bank account or your career or your company or your assets or your home or your relationships or whatever it is that you've been given. God wants to take whatever you have and multiply it, maximize it, if you like that word better, for his glory and for your good and for the good of those around you. That's the purpose of your life. And God is calling you to participate in that. He's already called you to do that. It's number one. Number two, God is calling you to love. It's number two. God has already called every single one of you to love. Jesus said the two most important rules in life are that you would love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that you would love others, loving your neighbor as you love yourself. If the word love feels kind of sappy, you could think be loyal to serve. But that's what God created you. God has created you and he is calling you to be a lover, to being a loyal servant of God, of your family, and of your community every single day of your life. That's God's purpose for your life. You can already know that that is God's purpose for your life, that you would multiply and that you would love, that when it comes to your stuff and everything that you have, that you would multiply and maximize it for his glory and for your good and the good of those around you. When it comes to all of your relationships, that you would love well, that you would be a loyal servant, you would be a loyal protector and a loyal nurturer of your family and your community and the people that you come in contact with. That's what I can tell you. Your job is to fill in the details. Your job is to join God in asking, hey God, how does my like specific life and my specific season and my specific career and my specific family and my specific relationships, my specific passions and talents and all that fit in to your purpose from my life? That's your job. God has a calling on your life and he is inviting you to discover it with him. And that is why I believe that every single Jesus follower, every single especially young person, and any person that's looking for more purpose or more direction or more meaning in life, ought to pray this prayer every single morning. I believe you should ask this prayer. God, what is your will for my life? God, what is your will for my life? God, show me your will for my life. God, how does what I'm currently doing and where I'm currently going fit into your purpose for my life? God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? God, who do you want me to be? God, I don't want to settle for just like my plans and my story. I want to know what your plans and your story are for me. Discovering and living out God's purpose for your life and his calling on your life, it is the most life-giving and life-improving thing you'll ever do. And you should pray that prayer every single day. God, what is your will for my life? And even if you're not a Christian and you don't believe in God, I still think the principle remains for you. And here's why, because your life runs on purpose. And by that, I mean like purpose is the gas in the engine of your life. Like you know this. And I don't care what study you look at or what psychologist you talk to, you're gonna hear the exact same thing that the story of Abraham is telling you right here, that the purpose of your life has to be something that's bigger than you. You are too small a thing to live for. You're too small a thing to live for. And that's why the story's so relevant, because it's shouting the same thing at you from millennia ago. Right there in the beginning, God said, hey, Abraham, I'm gonna bless you. It's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna bless you. But hey, there's a point to this. It's not that you will just be blessed. It's that you will be a blessing. That's your purpose in life. I mean, at a bare minimum, that is your purpose in life. That is your calling, that you would not just be blessed. You would go be a blessing as much as you possibly can to the world around you and the people that you love the most. That's your calling. And that's what I challenge you to go. Go like figure out a calling that's bigger than you. And if I could give you a place to start, a question or a prayer or a thing or whatever that you could ask every single day or every single week of your life, it would be this statement right here. I mean, we say it a lot around our church, but I would just ask this question. What breaks your heart? Hey, what breaks my heart? What breaks my heart? My purpose has to be bigger than me. What's breaking my heart that I see in the world around me? That question right there is the beginnings of a calling that'll change your world and make your life consequential. That's ingredient number one. You wanna live a consequential life? You wanna understand how in the world did Abraham echo through millennia? Well, he had a calling. That's ingredient number one of a consequential life, is that you have a calling from your creator and that you are tuned into and that you are asking. So ask. So my encouragement is you start asking, keep asking, start asking, keep asking. However, asking can be scary, right? And that's why ingredient number two is equally important. Ingredient number two for a consequential life, it is way simpler than this pretty lofty concept of a calling. So simple, really no explanation is needed. But it's equally important. And it's probably even harder to do. And ingredient number two to a consequential life is courage. Everybody say courage, please. Courage. Calling and courage. It wasn't enough for Abraham just to have calling. He had to have courage because, again, what God asked him to do was crazy. What God asked him to do was risky. What God asked him to do felt like a pretty big sacrifice. He had a million reasons not to do it. And that's the part of the story that we can't miss. It might be the most important story for you to focus on if you're thinking about the story this week. It's this one. This is what we can't miss in the story, that yeah, Abraham got a call. Yes, he got some history-changing invitation, but he still had a decision to make. And that decision was between where he was and where God was calling him to go. Basic, but massive, right? Because he's sitting there going like, what? I don't know, what am I gonna do? And he's in this battle between here and there, right? Like here is safe, here is known, here is all figured out, here is comfortable, here's pretty dang nice, but out there's where God's calling me. Out there's God's plan for my life. Out there's God's calling. Out there is what I was created to do. Out there, according to God, is like my destiny. And in this moment, he made a decision of a lifetime. This was the moment that defined his life. This was the watershed moment of Abraham's life. In this moment, he made the decision of a literal lifetime. The decision that not only would change his life, but define his life and immortalize his life. A decision that would end up blessing literally all of humanity. And that decision was he brought his courage to God's calling. He brought his courage to God's calling. And you get the three most important words in the whole Abraham story. You don't want to know what the three most important words in the whole Abraham story? They're in Genesis 12:4. So Abram went. Those are the three most important words in all of Abraham's story. God called him to go, and he went. He's like, all right. I mean, he somehow made this decision like, yeah, here is known. Yeah, right here is comfortable. Yeah, right here is all figured out. Yeah, right here is where I already am. But out there is where God's calling me to go. I mean, yeah, right here is my plan for my life, but out there is God's plan for my life. Right here is the story that I could tell, but dude, out there is the story that God could tell. Right here is the story of Abram. Out there is the story of Abraham. So he looks at his wife and he's like, babe, pack the bags. We're gonna leave. Let's go. Because yeah, I mean, right here and where we're at, it's good. I mean, it's good. You love it, we love it. But I think where he's leading us is better. I think it's better. We should go. And they went. And now most of us know a song about him. God called and he went. Abraham brought his courage to God's calling. God said, hey, Abraham, let's go. And he responded with courage, or he responded with what God calls faith. Faith is just giving God your courageous yes. God invites and you go, yeah. And Abraham would do that the rest of his life. I mean, you can read about it all the way up to chapter 25 in Genesis. You can see several more instances of him just courageously saying yes to God. And millennia later, his life would be recorded in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the faith chapter, the heroes of the Bible chapter. And I just wanna end by reading about Abraham's courage, how someone centuries and centuries later would capture his life, would summarize his life. It's pretty beautiful, it's pretty compelling, and I think it should be pretty inspiring. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 11, starting in verse 8. He says, by faith, by courage, by courageous yes, Abraham, when called, to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. He obeyed and he went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith, by courage, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. God's got something better out there. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's the story of Abraham. That's the synopsis of his life. It's consequential. And what I think you and I are meant to see in the story is this. Here's the whole thing. Here's the whole takeaway. The greatest moment in Abraham's life is when he brought his courage to God's calling. And the same is true of you. The same is true of you. The greatest moment in his life will be the greatest moments in yours. Period. Amen. God has a purpose for you. God has a calling on your life. Just like he did for Abraham, he does for you. The only question is, are you gonna have the courage to go after it? God is calling you. And the question is, are you gonna have the courage to go? Are you gonna have the courage to build your life around it? Whether that means changing up all your circumstances like Abraham, or whether it means simply tuning in and dialing in what you're already doing, what you already have to his purpose for your life. Will you have the courage to live out your calling? Will you have the courage to live out your calling? Whether you believe it's something you get from God or whether it's something you just find in your own heart, I believe it's from your creator. But will you have the courage to live out your calling? That one question is gonna make all the difference. It's gonna make all the difference because the two ingredients, those are the two ingredients of a consequential life, calling and courage. Calling and courage. Calling plus courage equals a consequential life. And so, if I may, I wanna give you a challenge. And it's simple. Ask the question and do something courageous. That's my challenge to you. Ask the question and do something courageous. Ask the question and do something courageous. Ask the question, God, what is your will for my life? I wanna challenge you this month, every single morning for 1 month, 30 days, just 30 days, whatever it is, September 15th till October 15th, every morning, I wanna challenge you to ask God, what is your will for my life? God, what is your will for my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? Or if you don't believe in God, that's fine. Just say, what breaks my heart? What breaks my heart? And start looking. Go ask the question and see where it leads. I'm not saying you're gonna get a 15-step plan and fall in your lap. That's not normally how it happens. Most of the time, it's literally just like Abraham, that God just gives you a step. He's like, that, do that. And as you courageously say yes to the step he's put in front of you, he shows you the steps beyond that. He fills in the story as you go. That's how it's always happened with me. That's how it normally happens. I don't know how it happened with you, but I wanna challenge you to go ask the question and then do something courageous. Ask the question and do something courageous. Now, some of you though, I need to tweak it a little bit because the better way to say it is your homework, and what I could challenge you to do is actually you need to re-ask the question. And you need to keep asking courageous. Keep being courageous. Because some of us, yeah, you have time in your life where you have asked a question. Perhaps you have had a sense of calling and clarity in your life. Perhaps you've even been courageously going in that direction and it changed your life. But you stopped. For some, a bunch of us in the room, our stories of calling and courage are actually in our rearview mirror. And some of us, it's because we got really busy. I get that. I got 4 kids. Some of us, it's because we got detoured in life. You know, we had a big speed bump in life and you kind of like gave up on the whole thing. But I think a lot of us, it's because we got successful. And we feel a little bit like, man, we've arrived. And I just want to encourage you, if I could, as your pastor, never stop asking God, what is your will for my life? Don't you ever stop asking. Don't you ever settle for your version of the story. You keep running after his because he's never done with you. He is never going to stop leading you. Don't you ever settle. Don't you ever stop asking. I don't care what your age or stage of life is. You keep asking, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? And who do you want me to be? And don't lose your courage. Don't lose your courage. The more successful we get, the more we feel like we don't need to be courageous anymore. We start going into protect and preservation mode. You know, I feel that all the time. Don't lose your courage. Don't stop courageously saying yes to what God is inviting you to do. Being courageous and being reckless are not the same thing. Being courageous and careless are not the same thing. So no matter what your stage of life is, no matter what age you are, you keep asking and you keep being courageous, because I'm telling you, what God's up to in the world and what he's up to in your life is the greatest thing that anybody's doing in the world right now. What God's building in the world is the greatest thing anyone's building in the world right now. What he has to say to the world is the greatest message that anyone has to say to anybody in the world right now. And where he's gonna lead you, I promise you, it's the greatest place you could ever hope to end up. So ask the question, or re-ask the question, and go be courageous. And if you do, what'll happen? I don't know. The sky's the limit. But here's what I know. I don't know what you will do. Here's what I know you won't do. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. Just ask Abraham. God said, go. And he went. And the rest is history. So, sometimes we need to look forward in order to go back. The two ingredients of a consequential life are calling and courage. Calling and courage. Calling plus courage equals a consequential life. And my challenge to you is go ask and then do something courageous. Abraham went and everything changed, and everything else is history. Let me pray for us and we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, thanks for the story of Abraham. I believe you preserved it for us just for moments like now. For lives like mine, because I'm looking for purpose too, and I'm trying to figure out my way in the world, I pray that we will realize the ingredients of a consequential life, calling and courage, and that we get our calling from you, so we should ask. And all we need to do is just bring enough courage to your calling on our lives to join you in what you have for us, God. And so I pray for a lot of people in the room that we'll find a fresh passion for our lives, a fresh sense of purpose for our lives. Some of us, I think, maybe need to get disrupted because we're like settling and you got something so much better. So for that person out there, I pray that you would do that this month. But anyway, Lord, we just want to live the lives you created us for. We don't want to settle for our version. We want your version of our lives. We don't want to settle for our story. We want your story. So as best we can, would you help us ask the question and ask it honestly? And I pray that we hear your voice since you're moving and leading, and we'd say yes, courageously. In Jesus' name, amen.